Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
And the kick coming from Brown. A 50-yard field goal attempt. They snap the ball down. The kick is up. The kick is on the way. And the kick is no good. No good. From 50 yards away.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, in the words of Eddie Murphy from Trading Places circa 1983, what a happy day! What a happy day! I'll tell you, I don't care how they did it, they got it done. A road win is a road win against a pretty talented team, even though they were banged up entirely offensively, even though the Patriots should have won this game 63-10. They find a way to win 23-20, despite another controversial 4th-and-2 call by Bill Belichick. And I love this call, unlike the one last year against Indianapolis. This one, and that's really the only call I really disagree with on Bill in a long time was last year. But no question about it. Had to go for it on 4th-and-2. You could close the game out right there. No problem with that. Patriots got the job done. They win 23-20 on the road in San Diego, and they improve to 5-1. They're atop the, tied with the frauds for the AFC East lead at 5-1. And they look forward to what is going to be a soap opera type of a weekend here at Gillette. Well, mostly in Minnesota, really not around here, but it's going to, you know, end up here in the end with the Patriots and Minnesota Vikings. But right off the bat, let me just tell you, before we talk football, I know Halloween's coming up and everything. It's not even Halloween. I got to tell you, last night on the radio, and I don't know what station played it out of Boston, and I really don't care. But I heard Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It was October 25th was yesterday. Okay?
October 25th.
Can't you at least give me to Halloween? At least give me to Halloween before you start violating my intelligence with these stupid, idiotic Christmas songs 24/7 and these awful Christmas commercials that are already being thrown at you left and right through the media.
It's so ridiculous.
Why do these marketing consultants, and that's who does this, you know, it's consultants, and believe me, half of them aren't worth a damn. They're stupid, most of them. Most of them have not worked, or they have never worked on the air in the business because they weren't good enough. So they come up with these stupid, idiotic proposals, like play Christmas music from, you know, July 4th. Because you'll get that audience. Run Christmas commercials on television after Labor Day. It really helps. And it doesn't. It insults my intelligence. It insults your intelligence. It insults Jason's intelligence. I don't understand.
I'm not that bright, though.
Well, you went to Syracuse, so I forgive you. Now, Syracuse people are pretty bright. And I got to tell you, aren't you sick of it already? I'm sick of it already. I mean, I'm a big Christmas Eve, Christmas Day guy. I love it. Remember, it used to be maybe the day after Thanksgiving you started all that. Now it's not even before Halloween. I got to hear Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town on October 25th. I mean, there's something very seriously wrong with that. And every program director on any of these stations around New England or the country, I don't care where the hell you are, that's playing any Christmas music before Halloween ought to be fired. Fired. I mean, people hear that October 25th and go click. It's bad enough, the pressure of the holiday season as it is. You got Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's all lumped in, basically, in a month and a half. And now you gotta. I feel violated. I swear to God, Jason, I'll come through the glass today. So was that Mariah Carey? That's even worse. That's even worse. How many times are you gonna hear "All I Want to Be"? All I ever want to do is not be alone on Christmas. Whatever that crap she sings is, and it's the same 8 songs all over again. You know, oh. October 25th, I got to hear Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I'm sorry, I had to get that off my chest. Now getting back to football. Jeremy Fowler from the Minnesota Pioneer Press will join us in about 20 minutes or so. We'll talk about what the hell is going on in Minnesota. Very interesting, in case you missed it, a few things, and we'll play some of the sound. I know John played it in his show, but I feel compelled to play it again for my people and my show. And Brad Childress tried to cover his ass at the end of this little, diatribe that he did, and trying to tweak the Patriots and trying to tweak Belichick by bringing up, what happened a couple years ago and, 31-7. You know, he's still ticked off because they lost 31-7 in 2006 when everybody had Minnesota winning that game. It was one of those, all the rest of the world except myself and a few others in the media are going to eat all that crow. That's where it started. Because people had the Patriots losing that game by like 2-3 touchdowns, and then they ended up whacking Minnesota. They spread the field. Brady picked them apart with guys like Rashay Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney, and Minnesota had no chance.
Yes. It's probably one of Lawrence Maroney's best games as a Patriot.
That was like one of
Benjamin Watson also.
Yes, it was. And it was a Monday night game. It was on Halloween, and the Patriots killed them. And Childress hasn't been over that since. So he makes up these stats. You know, I think it's just so freaking childish to even bring it up, you know? And I know what he's trying to do, but all you're doing, Coach Childress, is you're just going to give the Patriots bulletin board material, which if you haven't seen what's happened in the past, for the most part when that happens, it's not pretty. Worry about your banged-up quarterback, Brett Favre. By the way, I did see the open fly jeans, Wrangler jeans spot on Saturday Night Live, which is absolutely hysterical. If you haven't seen that yet, you got to check it out. Fantastic.
Why let zippers and buttons slow you down? With open fly jeans, it's always out and
camera ready. Always out,
and
camera ready.
It's on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then,
oh, yeah.
I pull my penis out.
That is so disturbing, but that's a Brett Favre. That's what's going on with Brett Favre.
Great skit.
Tavares Jackson going up against the Patriots. The return of Randy Moss. Which is going to be huge, not to mention Adrian Peterson. The first time Adrian Peterson facing the Patriots. Did not play in that game. Wasn't with the team back then in 06. So this is Adrian Peterson's first time he's going to be playing against the Patriots. So that's going to be interesting. A lot of great matchups here in this game. And, you know, the Vikings are in serious trouble here. They're 2-4 in the season. Patriots are 5-1. Minnesota is not playing well. They lost to Green Bay. Brett Favre once again cost his team the game. I think it's the third or fourth time this year. Really, he's really cost them all four losses. His touchdown to interception ratio is a joke. It's 7-10, 7 TDs, 10 picks. And again, he tried to overdo it. And
Brett Favre.
Yeah, exactly. And he's just awful. He's just absolutely awful right now. And it's going to be very interesting to see if he can step outside of his ego, which we know is impossible because his ego is the size of Texas, and for the better of the team, not play on Sunday. Now, he's got that stress fracture, a couple of stress fractures in the left ankle, not going to require surgery yet. He's eventually going to have surgery done. They're talking about shooting his ankle up at Novocaine and kind of like what happened with Curt Schilling, maybe not a little bit slightly different, but essentially the same type of a thing. Where it just numbs his ankle so he can get out there and play. Favre will go out there and play even if it hurts the team, which it most probably will. So, yep, that to look forward to possibly. He has 291 consecutive games started, 315 if you count the playoffs. You got the Jen Sturgis thing still going on with Favre. You got to possibly shooting up his ankle. Will he play? Is he man enough to sit down? He probably should have sat down Sunday. You know, how about Childress throwing the quarterback under the bus? Tom Brady surprised by those comments. You know, there's a lot of things about Brad Childress that are interesting. And, you know, last year they get off with at 6-0 start at the NFC Championship and they lose because Favre reverts back to Favre and throws picks in the playoffs. And now he's throwing picks in during the regular season. So, the Minnesota Vikings are in serious trouble here. So you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Or you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Jeremy Fowler will join me from the Minnesota Pioneer Press in a little while. And maybe a surprise guest, hopefully, will pop in. And we'll talk about this game coming up this week. But it's going to be very, very interesting. Not to mention on Halloween. I mean, it's going to be kooky go nuts at Gillette Stadium, right here, right over there. I'm pointing right over there, right above Jason's head, out the door. right there is where they play the football game. And I'm wondering, you know, where the Randy Moss costumes be out, the masks. What are you going to wear, Jason?
Probably what I'm wearing right now.
Well, that's scary. I'm just teasing you.
That's just because I'm not wearing pants. Yeah. But don't worry
about that. Oh, jeez. You got those Brett Favre jeans on. Don't stand up, please, whatever you do. Stay below the equator. You know what I'm talking about? I think you do. Anyway, always out and camera ready. Those Wrangler open fly jeans. They're fun for the whole family, huh? Unbelievable. Anyway, so there's a lot of interesting scenarios to talk about in this football game coming up on Sunday, not to mention this past football game against the Chargers, which I just thought was a terrific win. Yeah, it was a little hectic. I know it wasn't perfect. Yes, you know, but now you know why the San Diego defense has been number one in the league. Now, as far as some of the offensive numbers, again, you can't get carried away by what Phillip Rivers put up. 34 out of 50, 336 yards, because a bunch of those yards were in, you know, somewhat garbage time. That's when they were down by 17 points. Patriots were playing a zone, a very soft zone, and they were just trying to kill the clock, basically. You've seen it before. I don't have to explain it to you. So that's how numbers, that's why San Diego's offense has looked so good at times this year on paper, if you haven't seen the games, because they've been involved in a lot of these situations where they're down by double digits, and, you know, they're getting a lot, you know, Rivers is, you know, a good quarterback, but they're getting a lot of garbage yardage and not a lot of wins. And this San Diego team, as I told you last week, is in big trouble special teams-wise, although the Patriots had some special teams, a little gaffes of their own on Sunday, but luckily it didn't cost them. But you talk about, you know, a segment for Come On Man. I mean, my God, which is my favorite segment on ESPN, one of the few I like on that network. But certainly, between Richard Goodman and Jacob Hester and a whole bunch of other plays that happened with the Chargers, they could have filled that whole segment up by themselves. And I missed it last night before the Monday night game. So I don't know I'm sure they had it, but there was a ton of come on mans from the San Diego Chargers. I mean, that was laughable. And I'm going to say it. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know if you can blame North Turner for that kind of stuff. I mean, I blame North Turner a lot for a lot of different things. I don't think he's a particularly good head coach.
That's crazy.
But, you know, it's Pop Warner stuff. You know, you tell Goodman to wait till you get touched. You wait till the whistle blows before you put the ball down. First of all, you know, Jacob Hester, the backward pass, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, and Ninkovich, very smart. Patriots very smart on defense, and you have to love what this Patriot team is doing on defense for the most part. They are really starting to come around. Have you seen it now? I think this is three straight weeks. And what is hysterical to me is some of the mainstream media still, and, you know, my buddy Steve Big Time Burton, who I love to death. But the first thing he says during the Patriots postgame show is, I think this team took a step back today. How do you – that's what I was doing, Steve. I was laughing at that statement. That's what I was doing. You had me on the floor laughing at that statement. See, this is why I keep saying some of the mainstream media, they take a tiny portion of it, a tiny portion of the game. Instead of looking at the whole big picture, you can't come away from that game on Sunday saying that the Patriots took a step back. You just can't. You don't win on the road against a talented Charger team with the number one defense in the league and win the game, a game you probably could have won by three touchdowns, and say they took a step back. Now, did they look fluid on offense? No, no one's saying that. But San Diego's got a good defense. Matt Leica burned several times in that game. That's why you have to worry a little bit about this week, about Jared Allen going up against him. That's going to be a really interesting matchup right there. But you can't come away from that game on Sunday saying the Patriots took a step back. First of all, they won a game on the road, which any coach will tell you is very difficult. It's difficult to win a football game anyway. You went on the road against a talented team. Even though we're banged up offensively, we all know that, they still got the job done. And it looked impressive at times. Offensively, no. I mean, it wasn't a great day for Tom Brady in the offense overall. They did have a tremendous drive to start the third quarter, that 17-play drive. It took up nearly 8 minutes. So they won the game. You play to win the game. And that's what they did. They're 5-1. And if you saw the end of that game, again, Coach was very, very happy, you know, because he knows how tough it is to go into a place like San Diego and win that game. And they did. All right, let's get take some emails and some phone calls, and then we'll take a break a little bit, and then we'll have Jeremy follow on. But again, email me, webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. Also, you can call the show at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Matthew says, hey, Prickly Pete, is that actually your voice on the infamous soundbite of the newsreel announcer adding his 2 cents to the beginning of the Dale Earnhardt incident report? If so, you're my freaking hero. That was you. That clip went viral. You so rule for that.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
Now, if you remember correctly, when we were doing that that show at my former radio station, there was a little spoof I was doing, and I certainly meant no disrespect to Dale Earnhardt in that, but I was taken out of contents, as one famous baseball player once said.
No disrespect.
So, yeah, it was just a goof. Let's see. Here's Christopher. This year I'm fed up with these whiny little politically correct coaches we have now. You remember the rant by the old 49ers coach? They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook. Yeah, well, that wasn't the old 49ers coach. That was Dennis Green, who was coaching Phoenix at the time.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
That was a great night. That was a great night. All I see is these Norv Turners, Wade Phillips. Is Wade Phillips still employed? Is he? I thought he'd be fired by now. All I see is these Norv Turners, Wade Phillips, Brad Childresses catering to the players like nursery mothers. Norv Turner hasn't done anything to stop these silly special team woes. Any other coach would have gone and let some of these incompetent players know exactly what he thought of them. Wade Phillips, well, now has failure to coach, will show 10 times more that Romo isn't there. Well, Steve Davis, special teams coach for San Diego, I'm surprised he still has a job, but I thought that last week. Now I see Childress trying to make Bill Belichick look like a cheater to cover the fact he's made more errors in judgment than the high school boy skateboarding on the road with a plastic bag in his head. Childress, error number one, Favre 2010. Error number two, clock management. Error number three, acquiring Moss. In a game that should be Moss versus Patriots, instead it's the three-ring circus versus Patriots. Good luck, Moss. You need it. Thank God Bill Belichick is our coach. Well, again, the three-ring circus is going to benefit the Patriots dramatically because they're not involved in the three-ring circus. You know, here's what's going to happen. You'll see a bunch of, by the way, Mike says, Merry Christmas, Pete. Son of a gun. I'll go back over my rant later on. But, see, the three-ring circus is all about what's going on with, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they've got Favre Part 1, which is his ankle, Favre Part 2, which is his other ankle injury. You got Favre Part 3, which is Jen Sturgis, and that crap, you know, if that's affecting him mentally and his family. You have Brad Childress opening his fat mouth, talking about the Patriots and Bill Belichick and, you know, trying to stir up stuff where it's just absolutely, you know, he should be more worried. He's got other things to worry about than the signals. Change the signals then, Coach, as you say at the end of your little diatribe there. You know, so they have a lot of, and Randy Moss, you know, how Randy Moss, I'm sure, is going to want to stick it to the Patriots. However,
straight cash, homie.
Tavares Jackson may be the one out there trying to get him the football, which, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing. Tavares played last a couple of years ago. He did okay. The team went 10-6 when he started a bunch of games. He did okay, but I actually think it's a better thing for the Patriots if Favre plays. Let that fossil come in here and keep throwing interceptions against this jazzed-up defense. That's what I want to see. I really hope Brett Favre does not swallow his pride, cannot be man enough to step out of his gigantic ego, and says, I'm going to play. My guess is he'll probably play. I think Coach Belichick thinks he's going to play. And it's going to be good news for the Patriots because he'll have at least 2 picks, maybe 3, maybe 4, maybe 5, maybe 6. We've seen it before. He'll try to do too much. He'll probably really try to get the ball to Moss a lot in this game to have Randy stick it to him so that Devin McCourty can have a real good day, as is the rest of the defensive backfield. And Minnesota's got some other weapons as well, not to mention Adrian Peterson, who they've never faced before, this team. And, you know, I mean, Minnesota's got some players on this team. They got a hell of a defense as well. However, when you have Brett Favre setting up the other team's offense because of his pathetic interceptions, you know, that all changes. That changes. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Brett Favre out there on Sunday on Halloween, All Hallows Eve, against the Patriots. Should be a lot of fun. All right, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email me, webradio@patriots.com. And when we come back, guess what? Jeremy Fowler from the Minnesota Pioneer Press will join us and give us all the dirt and the latest on the Minnesota Vikings, all part of the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Brady back to throw. Steps up, fires it down the field. Hernandez has it at the 20-yard line. First down, Patriots. Tom Brady to Aaron Hernandez, and the brilliant rookie receiver makes another grab and another Patriot first down.
He didn't drop any on Sunday, did he? Yeah, redeemed himself nicely. I'll tell you, that kid continues to impress. Patriots beat the Chargers in San Diego 23-20. Again, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can check me out on Facebook as well. You can send me a posting there if that's easier for you. I'll get to those in a second. Or call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Back to the Facebook page. Amy says, oh, my God, why are you so pissed off? Because of Christmas music. You need to freaking calm down. You're going to have a damn heart attack. It just bothers me. My young friend about Christmas music before August, November. You know, it's just a show. It's just part of the entertainment. I'm not really that upset about it. I just feel I have to vent. You know, this is a place I vent about everything, not just football. I have my 2 hours a day on my show. I don't get interrupted by anybody, so I can do what I want. So I don't have to take everything I say. You know, take with a grain of salt some of the stuff. This kid had like entertainment, but it's like the candy bar segment John Rick was doing the last show, which by the way, we might add that. Yeah, let me know what your favorite candy bar is too. I have several. Craig says, attaboy, Pete. Amy goes on to say, Christmas music, bring it on. Then she says, especially today when it's 70 degrees. Completely. I mean, Christmas music on a 70 degree day. There's something not right about that. There's something not right about that. All right, again, you can call me on the Ace Ticket hotline, 508-543-7482, and let's head there right now and join our guest from the Minnesota Pioneer Press. It's Jeremy Fowler. Hi, Jeremy. Pete Shepard, how are you? Thanks for taking a few minutes today.
Hey, Tom, Pete. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So what is your latest take? Let's start. This is like another continuing soap opera. So I'm going to start with part one. Let's start with the three-part episode of Brett Favre. Let's start with the ankle and his ego. Is he going to be able to come out of his shell or step away from his ego, leave it aside for the good of the team, if he's going to hurt the team, and not play in this game on Sunday? What do you think the chances of that happening are?
I would say a scale of 1 to 10. I think it'll be between a 4 and a 5 that he plays. Obviously, I think he wants to play. He's done it for almost 20 years now. He's probably played through worse. Although, you know, I think a stress fracture and an avulsion fracture sounds bad on paper, and it is bad. I've heard an orthopedic surgeon say that you can be out up to 4 to 5 weeks on this kind of thing. But if he's willing to take some sort of medication, a pain reliever, I think that he could probably get out there. So it comes down to Brad Childress's call. I think he's going to wait to see if Thursday, Friday, Brett can get a couple reps in there and actually get fresh, because he definitely wants him to practice some before just rolling out there on Sunday. So I would say about a 5 out of 10 right now that he plays.
Were you surprised by Brad Childress's mark after the loss to Green Bay about Favre?
I'm a little surprised, but I do understand why Childress is angry. I mean, you look at the fact that Brett Favre has 14 turnovers this year, okay, 10 interceptions, mm-hmm. 4 fumbles. That's led to a direct result of 51 points when the opponents get that turnover, what they do with the ball. So, you know, that's something you just can't live with. I mean, Tavares Jackson, for all his shortcomings, and he's not as good as Brett Favre, he wouldn't have produced that many turnovers and given up that many points. So I can see why he's angry. I think that was a little overblown. I don't really think he was going to bench him. I think he meant more about the injury and how he maybe would have pulled him because of the ankle as opposed to the play. But, you know, they still paid him almost $20 million for this year to come here. They basically begged him to come, so they want to stick it out with him, but he's just got to clean up those turnovers. I mean, he's a veteran. He knows how to play better than that.
He knows how to play better than that, and certainly had a hell of a regular season last year until the NFC Championship, but this year has not been the case. I mean, and in years past, it really hasn't. I mean, the guy's thrown a lot more interceptions and touchdowns, with the exception of last year's regular season. I mean, I think it seems to me, anyway, Jeremy, I think it's finally caught up to him. I mean, I know people like to give Brett Favre, you know, 8 million chances to bail himself out, and the national media, the way they're all over him all the time, you know, kissing his ass. It still amazes me, but I got to believe. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings wanted him back. They wanted him there for tickets, and they wanted him there. But I think it's just caught up with him. I mean, I'm not sure he's going to be able to recover. I'm not sure how much better this guy's going to get the rest of the year. And I think Tavares Jackson might be a better option against the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah, and I do think you're onto something as far as the skills deteriorating. I mean, it's just the fact, when you combine his ankle injury with another year off and him waiting until August to come back, you know, you just combine all those factors, and he's not putting himself in a position to win. The body is getting old. However, the fact that he threw 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions last year has to say something. He's not too far away from that, even though it looks like he is. But, you know, when you combine all the factors, it's not looking good. I still think he can play a little better. Some of those turnovers are just judgment calls that he's not making right now. And, you know, right now, because of the turnovers, I think they're probably a little better off with Tavares Jackson, but that might only be for one game. I don't think that guy can sustain a whole season as the Vikings' reliable quarterback unless they just want to run the ball, pound it through the middle 30 times a game, and then run the occasional screen pass or slant route, you know, a couple three-step drops for him.
Well, this will be the first time the Patriots have faced Adrian Peterson, and obviously, you know, one of the best backs, if not the best backs in the league, him and Chris Johnson. So he's going to create and pose an interesting challenge for the Patriots. But the Patriots' defense, as you've well seen the last 3 weeks, is really starting to come together. They're getting a little bit better every single week. So I think it's going to be a real interesting matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to love that matchup because you look at what they did to the Chargers. I think they held them to, what, 2 yards per rush last week. It looks like those young linebackers, you know, Brandon Spikes, and you mix them with Mayo and then Cunningham, some of those guys are playing really well up front on the run. And you combine that with Peterson. I mean, the Vikings are going to run the ball. They're not going to shy away from that. So those two are going to collide. Peterson's playing at a high level, and what is encouraging for the Vikings is I think that their offensive line probably played its best game last week. They cut down on the penalties for the most part. They'd really struggled with that. And they also gave Brett a little bit more time. He still doesn't have a whole lot of time to throw the ball. They gave him more time, and they opened up more holes for Adrian. So I'm really intrigued by that matchup as well.
Another thing I think is going to be interesting, and again, this is what if people, you know, don't watch the games and just look at numbers. And if you see, like, the amount of points the Vikings let up over the last couple of weeks and some of their losses, you think, okay, well, this defense isn't what it's cracked up to me. When it's not that way at all, when your quarterback is giving up, you know, turnover after turnover after turnover and setting up your defense in horrible position, I throw those numbers away. This is still a very formidable Viking defense, and to me, the matchup that I'm going to be most intrigued to watch is Matt Light against Jared Allen, because Matt, although I think gets a bad rap a lot of the times around here, has played some of the better right defensive ends pretty consistently. I mean, they always remember the 2 or 3 sacks he gives up. They never remember the other 55 plays where he doesn't. But he got burned pretty badly last week, and I'm wondering this week how much help he might need over there to stop Jared Allen, who's just an unbelievable force, as are the Williams, you know, Kevin and Pat.
Yeah, what can be encouraging for Matt Light is that Jared Allen has struggled this year. I mean, it's on paper. You know, coming into the year, he had 30 sacks the last two seasons combined, 2 Pro Bowls. This year he has 1 sack, and he's really not getting to the quarterback much. I mean, against Green Bay, he struggled. It was pretty much a non-factor other than an interception that kind of was a gift right into his chest. But, you know, he's been outplayed by a lot of tackles out there, especially like DeBrickashaw Ferguson from the Jets really outplayed him, a couple of those guys. I mean, he has struggled this year. I don't know what it is. A lot of teams were throwing the ball quickly on the Vikings to avoid Allen and Ray Edwards on the edge. But against the Packers, Aaron Rodgers still had all day, and they still couldn't get to him. So I think Tom Brady will be in a good spot. I think he'll have some time to throw the ball.
Yeah, I think that's. I think you're going to see a very similar offense, believe it or not, that even though there's a lot of different players and a lot better receivers, I think it's going to be the same kind of game plan, I believe, as it was in 2006 on that Halloween night when a lot of people didn't think the Patriots were going to be able to score any points throwing the ball. And it was kind of like they're coming out that night in 2006, but they just spread it out against that, you know, that 4-3 base defense that Minnesota was playing. And, you know, I look for more of the same of that. If they can get any kind of protection for Tom, I think that, and it's going to be a long day for some of the Vikings secondary people. There's a lot of weapons on this team, even without Randy Moss.
Oh, I agree, and I think what the Vikings have to weigh is how much they want to blitz. They really didn't blitz much last week and haven't blitzed much lately at all, and they've relied on either their nickel package or their versatile athletic linebackers to pick up the slack in the passing game. They've had some injuries in the secondary. For the most part, they've done pretty well, but since they haven't gotten much pressure on the quarterback, Tom Brady can pick that apart if he's got time. So that's what the Vikings have to weigh. How much do they want to bring to the house? Do they want to bring 6 sometimes? Do they want to stay with their front 4? Because if they do, you know, they have to do a better job than they have in the past to get to the quarterback, or else Brady will make them pay.
Yeah, and then the one matchup there, I know that Cedric Griffin's out with that torn ACL for the year, but Asher Allen is, I don't know, he doesn't seem to be getting the job done for the most part.
Yeah, you know, he's a scrappy little corner. I like the way he plays. He's 5'9", so you can take advantage of him. He just doesn't have the size. I mean, right now, Antoine Winfield, the veteran, even though he's a smaller guy, he's the only reliable corner that they have on a weekly basis. You know, I've seen the teams are really avoiding throwing to his side right now. And if they try to throw the screen passes, he's great at these short tackles, you know, just in that flat area. But right now, you know, they have a rookie, Chris Cook, who will be good in the future, but he's rusty. Then they have a couple of veterans, Frank Walker and Lito Shepard, who have played okay in spots, but they've also had their struggles. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, they're not loaded there, but it's kind of been a mix-and-match group. Asher Allen is a decent player, but, you know, you can throw it over the top to him with some size. And especially I'm intrigued by the matchups with the Patriots' tight ends. You know, Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, actually a guy I covered at Florida. I just covered the Florida Gators. Mm-hmm. He's supremely talented. I'm wondering how the linebackers, Chad Greenway, E.J. Henderson, and Ben Lieber, who are very versatile, how they cover those guys in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup. A couple more questions before I let you go, and appreciate the time. The Randy Moss situation, obviously, is going to be huge around here, with him coming back, and, you know, I can only imagine the costumes on Halloween, all that stuff. But If Brett Favre does play, is he going to feel additional pressure to try to get it to Moss even more, much like Brady did against the Jets with Darrelle Revis back in week two of this regular season? I mean, can that hurt the Vikings, if he's trying to make Randy look good in front of his old team?
I think that's been part of the problem lately, especially in the Packer game. Two of the interceptions were intended for Moss, and the play either wasn't designed for Moss or it just wasn't a good throw. I think Brett has forced the issue trying to get Moss involved. Moss hasn't really exploded yet here. He's had a couple touchdowns, but the Vikings should take their shots with Randy, and they tried one long shot against the Packers, and Moss made a great catch, but he pushed off. So I think they need just to make three or four long shots, give Randy a chance to make a play on the ball. He's a good defensive player in the air too, so he's not going to let the ball get intercepted much. So they need to tap into that, but they need to be judicious how they use him and not put pressure on him. But I think it would help Brett as well if he get a good start, connect with Randy on one early, because the Vikings haven't scored this year on any of their first two drives through the first six games. So they need a quick start, especially on the road against the Patriots.
Final topic I want to talk about briefly is Brad Childress and the comments he brought up recently about, I know he tried to cover his butt at the end by saying everybody does it, but why, Jeremy, is he bringing up stuff that happened a couple years ago, bringing up the Spygate thing and the Signal stuff? I mean, I just think that kind of stuff over the years, when you bring that stuff up against the Patriots so many times, it has come back to bite those teams in the butt big time. I don't understand why he brings that stuff up. I don't think it helps his team at all.
Yeah, the Patriots are the kind of team that are going to remember that. Brady's going to remember it, and Belichick's going to remember that. Belichick and Childress had this little tiff over this practice squad player a while back, and for some reason it keeps being brought up. But, Childress is a guy who likes to play mind games. He was a psychology major in college, and he's well-spoken, and he likes to throw out maybe subliminal shots in the media. So, I can see why he did it, because I understand the kind of guy he is at times, or how he can be when he's in competition, maybe trying to get in the other team's head. Maybe he has an advantage here, but I guess I just don't see it. And maybe he was just being honest as well in an interview, tried to explain his side again. But it's one thing is for sure, the Patriots are going to remember that, and it'll be interesting how they respond.
All right, Jeremy, thanks a lot for joining me, taking the time out today on my show. I appreciate it, and hopefully you'll join me again some other time. Great having you on.
Anytime, man. Thanks.
All right, thank you. That's Jeremy Fowler from the Minnesota Pioneer Press joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. I just think Brad Childress is an idiot for bringing that stuff up, and players and
idiots.
Seen players over the years bring it up. What's his name from the Steelers and the Dolphins linebacker? Why am I having a brain fart?
Joey Porter.
I mean, one time he got away with it. One time he was right, okay? The other five times he was wrong. I mean, I'm just telling you, if you really look back at some of these stupid comments that guys have brought up over the years, the last 8 or 9 years against the Patriots, so many times it has come back to bite him in the butt. And badly. Badly. So I know Bill Belichick is going to take the high road, as he should, and not going to comment on Brad Childress. I'm sure some of the Patriots on the record will not. Off the record, I guarantee you.
What do you want me to tell you?
Those comments will be shown in print, and they will be played over and over and over again this week. And I guarantee you on Sunday during NFL Countdown, it'll be brought up. And on NFL Today on CBS, it'll be brought up. It'll be brought up again and again and again. And I just don't know why in this day and age, and if you're a coach, why you're going to bring up something that happened, a couple of years ago or 3 years ago, now 2.5 years ago, whatever it is, how that's going to help your team. I don't think it is. I think the Vikings are in serious, serious trouble, and I'm going to pray every day until Sunday, every minute, that Favre plays this game, because I think it's better for the Patriots if he plays this game, because he's going to throw a couple of picks, if not more than that. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. It's the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, stuff you use every day.
Also, like You know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
In back to throw. As time gets rid of the football to the right, it's incomplete. Intended there.
But might be a lateral.
On that ball, I was going to say it might be a lateral. Just in case, the Patriots rock. Ninkovich picks it up at the 40, 45, 50, 45, down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, still on his feet inside the 10-yard line to the 8-yard line, and that was a lateral.
Jacob Hester, come on, man! Unbelievable. Which was worse? I think Richard Griffin's play leaving the ball on the field was worse. But, you know, we've seen that. That happens about once a year. You see that a lot, where it's just instinctive. A player thinks he's hit. That's why you always play through the whistle. You never stop. But, man, the Chargers just self-destructed in some plays yesterday. And we're really fortunate they weren't blown out in that game in the first half. That could have been ugly, ugly, ugly right away. But, you know, a win on the road is a win on the road. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. And let's check in with another emailer here. Here's Christopher. I have a question for you, Pete. Okay. What is the Patriot way? Capitalized, by the way. I don't know what it is. I get the nostalgic feeling that it's back, but I can't describe the air of the team after watching the games on TV up here in Hamilton, Ontario. Well, Christopher, thanks a lot. Well, I think the quote-unquote Patriot way is kind of, grind it out type of a, I think it's, people always refer to the Patriot way as what happened back in 2001, although this team is much more talented overall than that team was in 2001. And the defense is coming around very similarly to that team in 2001, even though that team started 5-5 and didn't lose another game after that. I think this defense is younger and faster than that defense was, and they're progressing nicely. And the Patriot way is grinding it out on offense. I mean, playing games, maybe not playing the best, but finding ways to make plays when they needed to be made and winning games on the road. You know, you're not going to – people still are very spoiled, I think, of the 2007 offense and even partly in 2008. Not 2008, or 2009. But the Patriot way is where you don't have to necessarily throw big bombs on offense to win games. Everybody's going to be involved in the offense. Guys like, you know, Woodhead, who have been unbelievable so far, Danny Woodhead, and, you know, the tight ends and Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez – you know, all those guys have been part of this offense. All right, joining me right now on the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com is Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. Good afternoon, Coach.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for taking some time out today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, good to be on with you. It's been too long.
It's been way too long, and thank you so much for all the kind words you've had for me over the last few months while I've been kind of in hiatus. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
Well, no problem. I'm It's good to be on with you now. How's it going?
It's going great. Well, for just to recap a little bit on the San Diego game and your reaction again, very rarely have I seen you over the years get emotional. That's happened now. I mean, overly emotional, what I consider to be overly emotional for you. But the last, I'd say, 2 weeks and greatly and very justified, but I don't think people understand how difficult it is to win a game like you won on the road on Sunday. Even though they're banged up offensively, the Chargers were, to win a game like that, to grind it out and win that game is a difficult process. Why don't a lot of people understand that?
I don't know. It's you know, you get into a game like that and they you know, they gain twice as much yardage as you do, and you know, you're battling away and it goes down to the fourth quarter, and you know, we were just able to just maybe, I don't know, a yard, a foot, whatever the difference was there, just a little bit there, and you know, that's a real good football team. They've been in every game. They've lost several games down there at the wire, and you know, it's just a matter of time until they start winning them. They're just too good not to win those games more consistently. But it was certainly felt good to, you know, to be able to go out there and get one. And we've done pretty well in those tight games against them. It's been the ones where, like it was 2 years ago, where we, you know, just fell behind 17-3 and just weren't ever really in the game. So it was very, very satisfying, you know, watch the team work hard and prepare hard and go out there and play against a good football team and have them coming back on us and still be able to, you know, hang on and win. It was a good feeling. Not perfect, but it was good to come out of there with a win.
And also, you know, winning a game like that when your offense wasn't at its sharpest, a lot of it do because San Diego has the best defense in the league, and maybe now people will understand that. But then you come out in the third quarter and you have that incredible 17-play drive, which I know those are the drives that you love the most, where you kill half the quarter and end up with a touchdown. But, I mean, those are the kind of drives that we didn't see a lot of last year.
No, that was, you know, that, you're right. That was a great drive. Really gave us a chance to, you know, to talk about some things on defense and make some adjustments and really, you know, take an extended halftime period and, you know, try to capitalize on that extra time. But it was great, and it was great to, you know, finish off in the end zone. Those ended up being real big points, our red area touchdowns, you know, the pass to Gronk and the touchdown run by Ben Jarvis, you know, ended up being, you know, huge plays, and we were able to get some defensive stops down there in the red area. And so, I mean, in the end, that red area defense, red area offense ended up being a big, big factor in the game.
All right, enough about San Diego. It was a great win. I'm going to move on to the Minnesota Vikings, and you're going to be facing, you know, Adrian Peterson. I mean, there's so many soap opera stories here, and thank goodness none of them involve the Patriots. They're all about Minnesota. But first of all, how difficult will it be this week to possibly prepare for Brett Favre and or Tavares Jackson?
Well, that'll be a challenge, but it always is. We always have to prepare for our opponent's number two quarterback, as we've all seen. Sometimes it can be one play, and that player's in there. So we have to know who all their players are, not just the quarterbacks, but all their players that will be active for the game, and how we match up against them, what they can do, what their strengths are, and how they can be utilized. So that'll just be part of our normal preparation, and that's, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
Now, I know today, I mean, there's more stories that keep coming out. It seems by the half hour about Brett Favre's ankle and, you know, a stress fracture and an avulsion and this, that, and the other thing. But I know what you said. I heard your comments yesterday, and I think you're still under the impression that somehow, some way, he's going to be starting his 292nd consecutive regular season game.
Yeah, well, that certainly wouldn't surprise me. But just as we talked about, we'll have to prepare for both quarterbacks. And again, no matter who starts, it could be a player or two, and the other player could be in there because of circumstances. So we just have to be ready for that. And you know, however that plays itself out, that's out of our control. We just have to be ready to play against all the players that will be eligible to participate in the game.
Back in 2006, you put a pretty good whooping on this team. You know, 31-7, spread the offense out. That was back then when most of the media thought you couldn't score, you know, 2 points on offense because of the receivers you had. You put up 31 that night on that Halloween night against the Vikings, but they didn't have Adrian Peterson during that game. And what, obviously, one of the best running backs, you know, in the league, if not the best. And how does he compare to some of the great running backs you've had to coach against in the past?
Well, he's, you know, it's my first time coaching against him, but just watching him on film, he's very impressive. Really does everything well. He's got a great stride. He's very fast. And when he gets on the perimeter or into the secondary, he chews up a lot of ground. It seems like he takes about two steps and gets 15 yards. He's really got a big stride, great acceleration through the hole. He's strong. He's a powerful runner. He breaks a lot of tackles. He runs past people. He runs through them. He's a guy you've really got to get a lot of people around and wrap up. He's got a good stiff arm. So he's not only a fast guy with good vision and can make a lot of yards in space, but he breaks a lot of tackles with his power and with his speed, and he's got good vision. So he's this guy's put up a lot of yards in the last 3 years, and he's a very, very good football player. I'm anxious to see him in person. I mean, I wish we weren't seeing him in person, but I've never actually seen him in person run like this, and so. It'll be interesting to see what his real game speed and power is, as you say, compared to some of the other great players, but I'd imagine it's pretty good.
Well, I know you like a challenge and going up against one of the best, and I'm sure your players are going to be up for the challenge as well, guys like Mayo and Spikes. And how will you use Wilfork in this game? You're going to bounce him around like you have been going up against Peterson, or do you think he's going to stay more nose tackle, try to shut him up, stop him up the middle?
Well, we're kind of working on that our game plan on that today and through the week here. But I think the one good thing about it is Vince is so versatile. He really does everything well. And wherever we put him, he's been very productive for us and has done a great job with that area of our defense. And also kind of factors into where some of our other players are aligned and how we're placed as a unit, not just, one individual guy. But, Vince has been very unselfish. He's worked hard at whatever position we've asked him to play, whether it be nose, left end, right end, three technique, one technique, doesn't matter. And, he's really done a solid job for us. He's given us great preparation and leadership. He's done a great job as a captain. And it's been a big asset having him out there and playing well. And he's played a lot of snaps, a lot more than he did last year, and they've been high-quality snaps. Even the play last week in the San Diego game where Ninkovich picked up the fumbled lateral, and came down the sideline. Vince was out there in front of him, trying to block on the play. And so he just does a lot of little things that that really help our football team.
That play was great too, because Pepper was having a conniption on the sideline, and I thought he was going to come out and pick up the ball and run it in for a touchdown.
I'm telling you, he wanted to, believe me.
Well, it wouldn't be Halloween in Foxborough without Randy Moss, right? So here you are again, and we haven't had to ask you this question in a long time, or I haven't, but now you have to coach against this guy again after being on the team for the last 2.5 years, and obviously, Devin McCourty, he's done very well this year. I think he's been an outstanding rookie cornerback, shut down some pretty good receivers so far, but this might be his toughest challenge yet.
Well, we've, of course, worked against Randy in practice. He's an outstanding player. We all know that, and, a friend of many of us. But, he's the opponent this week. It's just be competition, and he's a big challenge. We'll have to certainly do a good job with Randy, but they've got a lot of the great weapons there, too. We've talked about Peterson. Shianko's an outstanding tight end. He's got really good vertical speed, makes a lot of plays down the field in the secondary. And Percy Harvin is a very dynamic player that they get the ball to in a lot of different ways on passes, screens, runs, speed sweeps out of the backfield. He's been as a wildcat guy. So he's very dangerous as well. They've got a very big offensive line, so quarterback, running back. They really got depth at all positions and a lot of quality players at every position on offense as well as on defense and in the kicking game. 10 guys in the Pro Bowl last year with, Moss now replacing Rice on offense, but, he was a Pro Bowl selection as well. So that's a lot of talent out there on the field. So, Randy's a big challenge for us, but we've got to deal with, a lot of other good football players out there at the same time too. So, it's just a question of everybody having to step up and do their job. We can't commit all our defenders to just one thing. They just have too many weapons.
Is it difficult to try and change the way you disguise certain defensive schemes now because Moss is, was here for so long and traded only a few weeks ago? Is that pose any kind of a problem for you and the staff?
Well, I think definitely that Randy, has seen our defense many times. Randy's a really smart football player. He understands coverages and disguises and concepts of what what defenses are trying to do to him and to the passing game. So I don't really think you're gonna fool him on a lot of stuff. He's seen it all and is very quick to identify and recognize what's going on and what's a disguise and what's actually happening and that type of thing. But in the end, it really just comes down to good execution and whether we can execute our team defense better than Minnesota can, execute their offensive plays that they happen to have called against it on those particular times. So I think that's the big thing is for us to play whatever we play is to just play it well, play it soundly, and with good fundamentals and good technique. And, hey, even when you do that in this league, there's times where great players make great plays, and it still isn't quite good enough just because of how special, you know, some of the other competition is. But, you know, the more you can make it difficult and really make them and force them to make those great plays, then the better your odds are of being a good defensive team. And that's really what we're trying to do, is just to play good team defense. And stopping Randy's a big part of it, but they got a lot of other guys too.
And agreed, Coach. One more Randy Moss question, just on the fact that Brett Favre does play, and knowing, you know, and if Randy probably sort of kind of wants to maybe stick it to his old team, but do you worry? I mean, does not worry, but should you be concerned, or maybe the defense is happy about this, I would be, considering the picks that Favre's thrown the last few weeks, but that they'll try to throw the ball to him too much in this game, just so because it's against the Patriots?
Well, again, I don't really know what their game plan is going to be, but I think that any time they get good opportunities to throw the ball to Randy, they'll probably want to do it. And when those opportunities aren't there, they'll want to throw it to Shianko or Percy Harvin or Greg Lewis or Berrien or whoever else is in there, or hand the ball off to Peterson. Again, they have a lot of weapons on offense. They have an outstanding group of skilled players. So if one guy's not open or getting taken away by a coverage, then I'm sure they'll find other places to go. And again, they do a good job of mixing things up, and it's hard to get, even if you want to get a guy, it's hard to get them all the time just because of the variety they use. They go anywhere from three tight ends to five receivers to everything in between, and so it's very difficult defensively to, you know, lock into a certain player because they just have so many different offensive configurations that it's hard to find them or know where they're going to be without it upsetting the apple cart and making everybody in the defense adjust to where one guy is and, you know, having to rearrange your whole defense. So those are some of the challenges of that.
Just want to ask you a couple more questions about the defense before I let you go, and thanks again so much. First of all, I mean, are you having – how much fun is it for you, being a defensive coach that you are, seeing how this band, these young guys, are starting to really gel and come together? I mean, that's got to be – I mean, I know how much you are. You love coaching defense.
Well, it's been a good group to work with. And we have a lot of young players, and have some new players coming onto the roster that weren't here last year, like Gerard Warren, and of course some of the rookies like McCourty and Dederick and Spikes Cunningham, and, you know, guys like that. Kyle Arrington's gotten a little more playing time, and, you know, working with Paige, Sergio Brown. You know, all those guys. It's been a good group, but they've worked hard. We think we've gotten better. We still got a long way to go. There's still a lot of things that we can recognize quicker and communicate better on, and just overall improve our execution. But as far as the effort, the work ethic, the preparation, the really trying to do things right, it's been a good group as far as that goes, and I think that's why we've been able to improve. But We're seeing some good offensive football teams here and some very skilled players. So, you know, we'll have a big challenge. We had a big one last week in San Diego, and we've got a heck of a challenge this week coming up.
All right, Coach, thanks so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you joining me on the show, and I hope you do it again, you know, in the near future. And, of course, you're right down the hall. You can walk down there anytime you want. I have some Halloween candy for you, too, some great parting gifts for you.
Okay. Well, I look forward to that, Pete. I look forward to talking to you again later on in the season, and good to have you back.
All right, Coach, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.
All righty. That's Head Coach Bill Belichick joining me here on the Pete Shepard Show on Patriots.com, and I promise you he will be a guest at some point down the stretch, and it's been great. And I can't tell you the gracious and messages that he sent me when my departure from my old employer, and it was very heartfelt and touching. I'll be honest with you. And he's a gentleman and a scholar, and I cannot tell you the tremendous amount of respect that I have for that man and what he's accomplished. And look, you know, he may not always give the sexiest answers in some of the press conferences, but you know what? He's always going to have a place in my heart. I'll tell you that right off the bat. And I have no problem saying it. I don't care. You know what? I just have a tremendous amount of respect for the man and what he's accomplished with his team, what he's had to go through, some of the unnecessary crap he's had to put up with over the years by some national media people. And I just appreciate him coming on the show. So that's it. I'll get my box of Kleenex. I'm going to get a, we're going to get back to our candy discussion. Get back to you guys as well. 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email me, webradio@patriots.com. And before people start asking about, what happened with Childress, why don't you ask him about the comments and all that crap? Look, we all know what he's going to say. I don't need to insult the man by asking him about what Brad Childress's comments is. All he's going to say is, he's worried about the players on the team, and that's it. He's not going to sit there, nor will he sit for the next couple of days and answer stupid questions about Brad Childress's comments. He's going to take the high road, as will the players, and move on, and that's that. And that'll be that, and that's the end of that. All right, when we come back, more of your phone calls here on the Pete Shepard Show and emails as well on Patriots.com.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepard Show with Pete Shepard on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
And the kick coming from Brown. 50-yard field goal attempt. They snap the ball down. The kick is up. The kick is on the way. And the kick is no good. No good from 50 yards away.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete.
Pete Shepard.
Now, welcome to the second and final hour of the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriots.com. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. I'm going to get to those right now. You can also Facebook me as well. I've got my Facebook page open if that's easy for you. You can call me at 508-543-7482. That is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And I am told that we broke new ground moments ago. And if you missed the interview with head coach Bill Belichick I just had, the last 15 minutes, you can be able to get it later on, right? When we're done with the show, you can download it, and it'll be available on Patriots.com, so just check that out. But I believe we made history, Jason.
This is John Hanna, Patron Hall of Famer. Download the podcast now.
You can do it now? Oh, you got to wait till the end of the show.
After the show.
All right, see? That's you're messing people up. Well, that's the first time head coach, Patriot head coach Bill Belichick has graced the airwaves of the internet on Patriots.com.
You're the man!
Wow. Wow, I'm going to be like Shaquille O'Neal. You know, I'm going to go to that the church in Foxborough, and I'm going to sit outside on the steps. Maybe will people surround me. You know that shot they used to always show all the time?
You might have to put yourself on Twitter and tweet that out.
I don't have a Twitter account yet. You know, the internet's been a great thing for me over the last, 9 months. I cannot deny it. But, Facebook's enough for me. Tweeting and I don't want to reveal too much about myself. I want everybody to know every little thing. As fascinating as that may be for some of you to follow me around all day, and granted, it wouldn't be dull, I can tell you that. But I might, tweeting, like tonight, what am I going to do? I'm playing poker. I'm watching the Celtics Miami game. What is that?
While it zippers and buttons slow you down.
That's right.
Open fly jeans.
You got
it. Always out. Tell them, Brad.
By the way, my picks are coming up later on as well, which is always a fun segment. And I think I won 10 last week. I think I went 10-5 last week. Did pretty well.
But you're still doing them for free because you didn't.
I know you got the rest of the year for free because I promised, 10-4 the week before, and I had a horrible week. I went like 7-7 or 8-6-8 or whatever it was. Anyway, here's Jesse in Maui. Love the show. Hey, just got this off SI.com. After speaking with a top NFL team orthopedist, SI.com's Peter King here doesn't believe Brett Favre's ankle injury will keep him out of this week's game. Well, I think I agree. We have to take the doctor's opinion with a grain of salt as he hasn't examined Favre, but he called the diagnosis of two ankle fractures, quote, extremely misleading. It's essentially a glorified ankle sprain, and most NFL quarterbacks would play with the injury in a must-win playoff scenario. King believes Favre can play Sunday if he's willing to play medicated and or with pain. Favre is sure to push to play. We'll have to wait in to find out if Coach Brad Childress wants to wage a power struggle. The source is SI.com. Thank you, Jesse and Maui. I think you're wrong with
that. And I know ifs and buts are candy and nuts. If they were, we'd all have a great Christmas or whatever that cliche is.
Hell of a party. One hell of a party. So I think we'll see. I think most of us believe, including the coach, that Brett Favre is going to find a way to play in this game. I don't know how he's going to give up the chance. His ego is too big for him to miss a game like this. Randy Moss coming back to New England. That alone
is enough. But I want to watch Brett Favre.
That alone is enough. Let's see. Let's go another email here on web radio at patriots.com. John says, it is good to hear your voice again. Always love hearing your views and opinions on sports. I happen to be surfing the Patriots website and found your show lineup. Well, you now have a new listener between 4 and 6, and I'll be passing the word on regarding your show. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Spread the word, baby. Every man, woman, and child should join together in unison, between 4 and 6 on Tuesday.
I am God!
By the way, I must tell you, the last two South Park episodes had me peeing my pants. The freaking Jersey Shore episode and the episode about the NASCAR episode, oh my God. Those should win Emmys of some sort. Absolutely brilliant. Brilliant over there. Outstanding. The Jersey Shore episode was just absolutely hysterical. Alex says, what do you think of the play of rookie linebackers Jermaine Cunningham and Brandon Spikes? Well, I think it's been, I think Spikes started off slow, but has gotten better every week. And no question about it. He is finally, I think he's coming into his own here. Of course, he's a rookie. It's going to take him some time. And Cunningham, too. I think Cunningham might be the biggest surprise so far. I mean, he has really played well. He has really played well out there. So and Ninkovich, too. I mean, Ninkovich is kind of like what Bantakane was a while ago. You know, we don't really know him, and he had a couple of games. But Ninkovich is really making an impact on this team. You saw what he did against the Dolphins, and he just seems to make plays when he's out there. So I expect more from him. 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Your thoughts on this Patriots-Minnesota game coming up. And Randy Moss, see, I just have a feeling. I think it's really going to help the Patriots if Favre plays. And if you're a Patriot fan, you want Brett Favre to play. You want him on that field. You need him on that field. Because I'm telling you, you know how that song, the Yanks are coming? Well, guess what? The picks are coming, the picks are coming. If I'm Devin McCourty, I am licking my chops because you know he's going to try to overthrow DeMoss this entire game. And I do think it's going to be somewhat similar. The only time I've ever seen Tom Brady do this was against the Jets earlier this year when he talked about it on the show, what he did when to Darrelle Revis, you know, and that's not going to happen again. But I'm not sure if Brett Favre is capable of handling, of having those mental checkdowns and not forcing himself to throw the ball to Moss. Because he doesn't have that kind of discipline. He just doesn't. So I expect him to screw it up. And I expect McCourty to go at least one interception, maybe five. All right, I'm exaggerating. Maybe two.
You know something? You suck.
But Favre's going to throw some picks in this game. There's no question about it. Now, is he also capable of putting some points on the board? No question. You know, one thing I've learned, as much as I despise this person professionally as a football player, you know, just because of the diva that he is, I know he's had some remarkable accomplishments, and I respect him for that, believe me. But the guy is just a pain in the ass. It's just that simple. And he's just not that good. The most overrated superstar in the NFL of all time. Sorry. That's the way it is. He is. And I just don't think he has the discipline in his game to not throw to Moss a bunch of times. I think he thinks Randy, I'm sure Randy's had a little conversation with him. You know, I'm sure Randy really wants to stick it to the Patriots this Sunday. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the big question is, that to me, the guy I worry about most is Adrian Peterson. There's no question about it. But the way the Patriots run defense, again, the Chargers and Matthews, not the same thing. No LaDainian Tomlinson over there anymore. So, you know, I kind of take that with a grain of salt, even though the Chargers were running the ball, you know, pretty good. Their offense was, you know, one of the tops in the league. But and the Patriots did a great job against the run lately. So it's a very interesting challenge. I think guys like Spikes and Mayo, they are really starting to get a feel for one another on the field. Like I talked about Ninkovich and, you know, Merriweather, what a hit on Creighton. I mean, that just goes to show you. You come back, and I don't know what you guys thought, too, but I thought, you know, we really didn't, after that, the warnings this week about the hits, I mean, nothing really changed. I thought it was some great football played. A lot of points this week, most, I think, since, like, what, 1983, I think? Most points in the NFL, I think, since 83, I heard. And, you know, overall. But there were some solid hits in this game, in the Patriots game, and around the NFL. So, whatever it is that Roger Goodell, well, we all know what it was, what he told him to do. I don't think it affected the players that much. I think it's one of those stories that gets completely, completely blown out of proportion by many in the mainstream media. It happens all the time. And you're going to see this Patriots story get blown out of proportion with the Viking, not the Patriots side, but the Viking side. The Childress comments will get blown out of proportion. Watch how many times the Spygate stuff comes up now in the next couple of days. It's going to be embarrassing. And you'll have Childress comments all over the place. You know, it'll be sickening Moss Favre stories. It'll be Brett Favre ankle updates 24/7. You know, it's just going to be puke inducing. Typical Brett Favre puke inducing non-football stuff. You know, not to mention the Jen Sturgis. Now, I guess the ankle is obviously the ankle is football stuff. Let's be fair. I misspoke, but it's just, you know, it's just all about his freaking ego. I think he hurts the team by playing this Sunday, but he won't think that way. He'll play, and he'll hurt the team. Because the Patriots will win this game on Sunday. I really believe that. They will win this game on Sunday. I'll get to the predictions in a little bit. It's a very interesting game this week. So, again, you can email webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Or if you feel it, find it easier, you can Facebook me as well. And I will read those. And you can call on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Yeah, I was right. In Week 7, there were 737 points scored, an average of 52.6 per game. Take the over in 14 games. That's the second highest average in any week since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger. Week 7 in 1983. That was right. Averaged 54.4 points per game. 761 points, 14 games.
Just trying to validate your numbers.
Thank you very much. I always appreciate that. Always appreciate that. Let's go back to the emails real quick. There's Justin says, what's up, Pete? Welcome back. Hey, Pete, if Chung's out for Sunday, who will be playing for him, and would that affect us back there with Moss out there? Well, it certainly would. And you have, Jared Page out there, the kid from Notre Dame, I think. Right, from Notre Dame? Pretty sure. He came off the practice squad, got promoted this week. Last week. And he had a pretty big tackle, I think, in that game. If I'm not mistaken, late in that game, Page had a pretty good tackle. Because I was saying the same thing you guys were. Who the hell is that? Who the hell is Jared Page? Some kid from Notre Dame that was on the practice squad that they called up at the middle of last week. So I think, yeah. I mean, certainly that's going to be a factor if Chung can't go. And we don't know that yet. We'll know, a lot more. The injury report comes out tomorrow, as you all know. But I think Brandon Merriweather's playing better, and Sanders. I just think if you look back at the fundamental stuff, the tackling and the blocking of this team back from the first 2 weeks until now, there is no question there has been an improvement. I mean, that Buffalo game was pathetic, some of the missed tackles that happened in that game. And I think they've really come a long way in correcting those problems. I think that the Miami and then the bye week and the way they played against the Ravens and now on the road against San Diego, I think they have corrected a lot of those early season problems regarding, bad tackling. But they will be challenged this week, no question about it, with Adrian Peterson back there. That is going to be, it's going to be great. Now, you might remember last year went up against Chris Johnson. Remember last year that freaky snowstorm that happened in here at Gillette in October? I think it was like a week ago to the day. Something like that. It was around the 20th or the 16th or something like that. And the Patriots ended up killing the Oilers that day. I think Johnson had over 100 yards rushing, but really it was garbage. It was 55-7, whatever the hell it was.
Snow, sleet, rain.
Yeah. So I mean,
want a funny story about that day?
Yeah. Funny, haha. Funny, strange.
Haha, funny.
Oh.
So the kid who works for me.
What's so funny? Tell me. Tell me.
Worked for me, helping with running the in-stadium entertainment.
Oh.
He was
really?
Standing down in the field.
Dancing
and
girls?
No dancing girls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wearing a jacket and khaki pants.
Yes.
Got so soaked in the rain and then the snow, he was wearing Heart boxers underneath. And
Heart like the group, like Annie Wilson?
No, like Hearts, like Valentine's Day, like your girlfriend.
I'm kidding, yeah.
Pants were so wet, we have video of his boxers bleeding through. You could see the hearts on the top of his leg.
Now, let me ask you one question. Why would I want to see that? Why would I want to subject myself to that vision? Why now must I be disturbed by that vision the entire rest of the way on my show?
You will respect my authority.
So can we find that somewhere? Is there a picture of it somewhere?
I'm sure I could dig up a picture for you if you really want to see it.
Brian says, and he's correct, Sergio Brown, that's right, he's the kid from Notre Dame, and Jared Page picked up from Kansas. That's right, Page is from Kansas City. That's right. Sorry about that. You're absolutely right. But the Brown is the one that picked. But Brown actually. But I think Brown made a tackle late in that game. He's the one. I think Brown made a tackle late in that game when he came in. Back to the emails. Ray says, Rhode Island Ray, how much single coverage do you see McCourty providing on Moss this week? I see them playing a lot of single coverage and concentrating the safety on Adrian Peterson and Harvin. Thoughts? I think what you're going to see, and this is going to sound cliche, I just think you're going to see a lot of everything. I think you need to show that kind. I just think Bill Belichick is going to keep you guessing in this game. He's going to keep you guessing in this game because I think there'll be times, and we've seen McCourty, do a good job this year for the most part, covering some very good wide receivers. But Randy Moss is a different kind of wide receiver, as we all know. So it remains to be seen if he can. I just think he's going to do a pretty good job. You're going to stop Moss? No, you're not going to completely stop him. Randy Moss is going to get his yards in this game. I think he will. I think it's going to be interesting. What I think is going to be a factor, Rhode Island Ray, is that depends how stubborn Brett Favre is. If he's very stubborn and wants to try like hell to get Moss the ball so he can show up his old team, I think that's going to pose serious problems for the Minnesota Vikings. But if he's calm, cool, and collected, which we haven't seen much of him this year, and starts to spread the ball around, and with Adrian Peterson, there's no reason why he shouldn't, unless the Patriots completely shut him down, which is probably unlikely, although I don't think Adrian Peterson is going to explode in this game. But I'm looking for one of those quiet 105-yard games by Peterson. That's what I'm looking at. It'll be a quiet 105, nothing big. He averages about over 5 yards of carry. 4.9? Or is it 5.9? I forget. See the four. Actually, I got the stats right here. Maybe Jason can look it up for me real quick. It's either 5.9 or 4.9. I forget. And anyway, the guy's good. The guy's a great running back. There's no question about it. All right, let's go back to the emails here. Jose says, hi, Pete. Do you believe the Pats can win the division? Congratulations for the program. Of course I believe they can win the division. They're top of the division right now, along with the Jets. Jets technically ahead because they beat the Patriots for one half of football, but the Patriots will have the revenge here in a few weeks when the Jets come to town on that Monday night. So I'm not too worried about that because that bad half of football ain't going to happen again, and Brady's not going to be able to throw the ball to Moss, 8,000 times in a half. That's something that still shocks me to this day that he got caught up in that stuff. But you know what? It's happened to all great quarterbacks before, and I don't think it's going to be an ongoing thing here. Even though the Patriots struggled enough against the Chargers, you have to realize how good the Chargers are on defense, and especially at home. So trust me, you saw what the Patriots did at times against the Chargers. You saw what they did against the great Baltimore defense as well. So I just think this team is coming together. I offensively, again, I am not worried about it at all. I want to see an improvement on defense. After that Buffalo game, I was a little concerned about what I was seeing. But I think they've corrected it. They've gone back to fundamentals. And you've seen an improvement the last 3 weeks against Miami, against Baltimore, and now against San Diego on defense. They are making plays. They are going back to what we saw a lot of in 2001, which is bend, don't break. Giving up some field goals and not necessarily touchdowns. And I really do believe these last two games that they were played last year, they would have lost them. I really believe that. So I think that shows that this team is coming together from a character point of view perspective and from a talent point of view. And Bill Belichick, we all know, is the defensive coordinator on this team. And I think he's enjoying the hell out of what he's seeing from some of these younger guys coming together.
4.9.
4.9.
For Peterson.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. It's Justin from Rhode Island. Hey, Justin.
Hey, P, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. The team the last couple of weeks, especially, you see these adjustments being made at halftime, where over the past, go back to the Jets game, second half, Patriots got destroyed. I think these adjustments without Randy, the offense is back to the old Patriots. My biggest concern, though, Pete, about this week is our offensive line.
Well, I was a little concerned
with Matt Light.
Yeah, well, Matt Light.
I think Jared Allen may have a field day with our offensive line, especially with our running backs as well. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, Matt Light certainly struggled. I thought he had the worst game of any Patriot out there on Sunday. And I like Matt Light a lot. I think he gets a bad rap in this town a lot of times. I think people see two or three plays and forget that the defense is on the field on average for about 60 plays. They forget the other 57 times. Overall, you can't be too you have to be pretty pleased with the Patriots' offensive line. They've given Brady a lot of protection out there. Again, you're talking about Sunday, this past Sunday, the best defense in football. And certainly he's there were times where Matt Light struggled. But Jared Allen's also struggled this year, too, Justin. Jeremy Fuller from the Minnesota Pioneer Press correctly pointed out he hasn't been the Jared Allen of old so far. Now, that can change, we all know, in any given time. But, we'll have to just wait and see. Now, whether they need tight end help over on that side, whether Crumpler helps out on that side at times, or somebody else, or one of the running backs helps out, double teams Allen from time to time, that remains to be seen. But I just think that if you give Brady any kind of protection, if they keep getting the protection he's been getting for the most part, he's going to pick this Viking defense apart. Now, the big question is the Adrian Peterson factor. This team, Bill Belichick's never coached against Adrian Peterson before, and the Patriots have not faced a Viking team with Adrian Peterson on it. He was not in that game in 2006 when the Patriots whipped him in Minnesota. So I think the challenge is on Brandon Spikes and Mayo, and obviously Warren Wilfork and Wright. Huge responsibility up front. And we'll see. The Patriots' run defense has been awesome this year so far, for the most part.
Yeah, their rush defense, really has been a staple. I mean, Wilfork up the middle just clogs up so much space. And you said it, Spikes. This draft class, P, if you look at some of the players they have here, this is going to build a foundation 3, 4, 5 years from now. You're going to come back to this draft class and see this is where the Patriots reinventing themselves. You know, the Brady's last, you know, 4 or 5 years here.
No, I agree. And it's a lot of it. I mean, I think Devin McCourty is an outstanding cornerback. I mean, people here were oohing and moaning and groaning, I should say, because they don't follow, you know, a kid from the Big East and, you know, Rutgers and blah, blah, blah. But this kid was one tremendous pickup. And guy, I mean, Patrick Chung, who I love, and I hope he's able to play. You know, Merriweather finally is starting to get back to his Pro Bowl form a little bit. The best game I thought he played of the year was on Sunday against the Chargers. So there's a lot of good signs here. They're starting to get some semblance of a pass rush even. I mean, it's much better than it was during the first 3 weeks of the season. It's been much better than the Miami, Baltimore, and San Diego games. So I just like what I'm seeing. I just think if they give Brady the kind of protection that he's been getting for most of the year, they're going to win this game, and they're going to win this game by a touchdown or two. And they're Favre plays. You got to pray for Brett Favre to play in this game because he will screw it up as he's continued to screw it up for them this whole year.
He'll throw a pick. The last 3 weeks, he's thrown
horrible.
A pick six. He's just had an awful year.
He's got 10 picks.
Last year was, you know, he was lucky last year. I mean, we all knew what was going to happen. And he's hurt. He's banged up. And you're right. Randy Moss is the worst thing for the Vikings with Brett Favre quarterback because he's just going to force it into him.
Well, it remains to be seen. Thanks a lot for the call, Justin. But it remains to be seen if he's the worst thing for Brett Favre. We don't know that yet. So far, as we were talking about with Jeremy Fuller from the Minnesota Pioneer Press, he has yet to really bust it out. But he's certainly capable of it. We've certainly seen him do it before. And, you know, and I know there's people out there, you know, Brett Favre, he's got this magic touch sometimes. And, you know, he can, you know, Brett Favre can still, you know, if he has, stays with, I hate to, stays within himself. If he stays within himself, he can, you know, probably still do some damage. If the Patriots get if the Patriots get sloppy on defense. But I just think they're onto him. I think this Patriots defense is going to be licking their chops. I think a guy like Brett Favre, he's like a wounded duck out there, a wounded animal. And I know what people say about wounded animal, they can be very dangerous, but not this one. Not this 42-year-old, nearly 42-year-old football player, Wrangler open-fly jeans, always out, camera ready. You know, ready to go. I think they're going to be licking their chops, and they're going to almost be daring him to throw the football. They're going to be like, yeah, go ahead. You want to chuck it deep? Chuck it deep, Brett. See what happens. Keep doing it.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
And guys like guys like Mayo, Spikes, and Ninkovich are going to have tremendous days on Sunday. I think they're going to be outstanding. I think those are the guys that those cross the field passes, short range passes that Favre sucks at, and he thinks he can thread the needle still and be selfish. I mean, those are the linebackers could end up with more interceptions than the D-backs this week. That could happen if Favre plays. So you want Brett Favre to play. You can email me, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. And let's see, let's get back to the emails. And we go to Gene in Daytona Beach. Hi, Pete and Jason. I don't know what Brad Childress is up to with his comments about the Patriots, but I can guarantee you that one thing, he has gotten the Patriots' attention. Like you said, the history has shown the Patriots do not care for people questioning their character. The way the Patriots will respond will be to work even harder in practice this week. The Randy Moss return will also take second fiddle now to Childress's comments. Believe me, he has stirred up a storm in that clubhouse. I hope Favre plays also. I love your show and wish you were on more than once a week. So do I. I love the enthusiasm and energy you bring, and please keep telling us how you really feel about the team and don't hold anything back. I don't. Patriots 35, Minnesota 7, says Gene in Daytona Beach. By the way, great interview with Bill. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I always will because I am not here to... I told you, this show is going to be about you, the fans. And I have, you know, usually even in my old job, I didn't hide most of my feelings about much of anything, to be honest with you, because you couldn't do a show that way. And I'm not saying some of the other guys do. But in case you missed it, I'm just saying now I want this show to be about you, the fans, whether you call or email, it doesn't matter. And, you know, it'll be entertaining.
Or Facebook,
exactly. It'll be entertaining. You might think I'm off my rocker at times about certain subjects or not, but I think you're going to find more times than not when it comes to analyzing this football team, I'm pretty honest about it. Those are still those, you know, like just it'll be a, you know, ball washing and all that stuff. If you heard the shows I did last year on the radio, before the losses, some of them I picked against them, and after the losses, criticized them very harshly when they should have been, and I won't hold back here. And that's why, I mean, you take a game like Sunday's game against San Diego, and there are a lot of some bad things. I didn't like what I saw, a few things, but the good far outweighed the bad. And I certainly get it how difficult it is to win a game on the road in a hostile environment against the number one defense in the league. And that's why when I hear some people say immediately after the game that they took a step back, it totally infuriates me because you just don't get it. You just don't get it, how hard it is to win a game like that. Now, I know it sucks because you think they should have won by 30, and they probably should have, but they didn't. They were up by 17 late or early in the third quarter. They let the Chargers hang around, and they nearly tied it at the end. But you know what? They didn't. And I think last year this would have been a totally different scenario, and I think the same thing for the Baltimore game. So I'm very happy with what I've seen. Before we get to my picks, which is always one of the best parts of the show, in case you didn't hear, this dingbat out in Minnesota, a.k.a. head coach Brad Childress, and I will preface this by saying, make sure you listen all the way to the end as he tries to cover his purple people eater butt. We have that comment? This is the Brad Childress.
Yeah, I think they'd probably do it by coverage. I mean, I'm mindful of the last time we faced them here on Monday Night Football, and it was like a surgical procedure. You know, now that's back when we used to signal and things like that. I remember having a conversation with Mike Tomlin about these are some of the all-time great signal stealers. And in fact, that's what was going on. You know, they were holding. And, you know, we were signaling from the sideline. They were good at it. It's like stealing signals from a catcher.
So when you were on defense, they were stealing what your defense and then setting up their offense based on that?
Yeah, I mean, is it two? Is it three? Is it one? You know, if you know that as a quarterback, that's as good as you can do. And they did as good as they can do.
Time for two more questions.
During the game,
No, I had I just had a notion, just having played them at the Eagles before, that they were good. It's something that we do as well. You know, I mean, it's good for one, it's good for the other. But, we didn't change up. We didn't use wristbands. We didn't change the menu at halftime. And they were good at that. And obviously, you don't need to give Tom any added advantage. Before the defensive radio helmet, yes, exactly right.
Brad, your team's sitting here 2-4. You're coming off an emotional loss. You got to go play a very good New England team.
Yes.
And your quarterback's in a walking boot. Is your team at a crisis point right now?
We have 10 games left. I mean, I'm not calling anything a crisis point. We need to work ourselves out of this. And I believe we've got the players and the coaches to be able to work ourselves out of this.
All right.
You know, you just tacked on another 10 points for the Patriots in that game. And if you think if they're up by 8 touchdowns in this game, believe me, they're going to be up by 10 before the game is over. I know he tried to cover his ass at the end, but why? Somebody really, I mean, you know, Brad Childress, you're not smart enough to outthink this Patriot team when it comes to that kind of that stuff, that chicken bleep crap, you know? That this is not, you know, you're not playing the Buffalo Bills here, and a bunch of young idiots, you know. You're not going up against a franchise that's a bunch of fools. So you say those kind of things, and you're just hurting yourself. I feel bad for you, really. I pity you, Brad Childress. Pity you. It's just idiotic.
Addiction, pain.
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. T. Thank you. So, it's just, you could tell he's still upset because he got his butt whipped on Halloween in 2006, and Rashae Caldwell and Jabbar Gaffney and Ben Watson, and dare I say, our old friend from the University of Minnesota had a decent game. And you know who I'm talking about.
Lawrence Boney Maroney.
Did you know that there were 4 interceptions in that game? We picked off 4 passes.
We picked out four, but yeah.
Remember who did them?
2006. Jeez. Was Troy Brown still on the team then?
He was, but he was not one of them.
He was not one of them. I will say, Asante.
Nope.
Asante Samuel, no? When was the defense? Was one Will Fork?
Nope.
No. Hobbs?
Yep. Hobbs was one.
Who else would have been? Let's see. 2006. One was a linebacker, I remember. And I'm trying to think who it was.
Linebacker was who used to score a lot of touchdowns.
Oh, Vrabel. Yeah, Vrabel was one. That's right. And Bruschi? Bruschi had one? No? Who? Who else?
Chad Scott.
Oh, that's right. Chad Scott. Yep.
And Hot Rod.
Who's Hot Rod?
Rodney.
Oh, Rodney Harrison. Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, that's right. 2006. And they really kicked their ass that night. They came out fine. The Patriots were just... That game could have been like 58-7, too.
My wife calls me Hot Rod.
Yeah. Peter says, I know this is random, but if they played this week after the Steelers barely holding off the Dolphins, who would win, Patriots or Steelers? Well, I tell you, that was one of the most pathetic things I've ever seen was that call because the Miami Dolphins got robbed. I know it helps the Patriots that they lost, but the Miami Dolphins got robbed in that game. If the Patriots played here at home this week, it'd be a very close competitive game. It'd be much like the Baltimore game, right down the wire. And I think the same thing if they played at Pittsburgh this week. You know, Roethlisberger hasn't been anything great since his return so far. Nothing spectacular that I've seen, and a couple of nice throws. He's so tough to bring down. But how about? I mean, he's so stupid. I mean, he's so dumb. When you see him, remember him talking about the play, the fumble. I mean, how many times did he contradict himself at the end of that game in that interview? And it was just pathetic. You know, instead of just come out and saying, yeah, I lost the ball. We got, you know, not saying he got lucky. I still don't know how the referees, how two of them say 58 and White got the ball, meaning the Dolphins, and that they came to the conclusion that the Dolphins didn't get the ball. Well, they got screwed. Absolutely got screwed.
You know what the issue was, though, right? When the official goes under the hood,
yeah.
The only looks that they see come from the broadcast partner, whoever's carrying that game.
Yeah.
So if CBS stopped shooting what happened at the end of that pile,
yeah.
The replay official doesn't see those looks.
No,
and all they have to go off of is just what we saw on the air.
Okay, fine. But you can't say the Steelers get the ball on the one-yard line. It's either a touchdown or... Or a touchback, you know? It's one or the other. It's not the Steelers get the ball on the one-yard line.
It's like when you play flag football.
Well, I mean, what is that? It's like, house rules, you know?
It's right. It's like when you played flag football as a kid and you're like, wait a sec. Let's redo that play. Can I get a redo?
I mean, it just made no sense. It's terrible. Tom says, hi, Pete, on Facebook. Listen to your show on the Patriots website. Once again, great show. It's great to hear you on the air again and your expertise on the Patriots, pro football in general. Hopefully, you'll be on more days. See, we're getting more of that. More days. Who do I write to?
Brilliant.
Congrats as well on getting a Coach Belichick on the airways. That was definitely the best part. Keep up the good work and good luck at the poker tables. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Played in a big charity event last night with Andy Duke and Howard Lederer up at Grand Estate Poker. It was very, very a great night up there. Fortunately, he came in like 40th, they got knocked out, but it was a great time. Andy sat two seats away from me. She is a sweetheart, and Howard's a great guy too. Andy's a little more outgoing personality-wise than Howard is, but great time had by all. Raised a lot of money for charity last night. It was a good time. Anyway, should we do the picks? Are we ready? Are you ready? I tell you what, I have done more preparation this week, at least by 2 or 3 minutes, than I have in the past. I am really looking forward to this week. So here we go. Pete Shepard's pick for the week. Last week, I won 9 of 10 games. I forgot to bring my list, so I'm not sure, but I know it was at least 9 and possibly 10. So we're getting better.
That's what you call show prep.
And the ones I lost, I got screwed. I mean, totally screwed. But some of the bigger ones I had last week, you might remember. I had the Dolphins, plus the 3. I had the Raiders. Of course, I had the Patriots, and I had—I did not have Buffalo. I can tell you that for damn sure. I did not have Buffalo. I did have Cleveland with the points. I told you the way New Orleans is playing at home, they don't beat anybody by double digits. They don't cover by double digits. Forget, and they can't win against the
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Oh, God. Isn't that sickening? Anyway, no thing. I mean, the Browns and, you know, man, Chump could have had a couple more wins this year, too, had there not been a couple turnovers. Right, here we go.
He lost some weight.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. All right. How about this? We begin overseas in London. We have some. Give me some English music, please. I got to set the stage here. I'm presenting a kaleidoscope of erotic images through the radio station. If Denver and San Francisco can be erotic in London, that's what I'm trying to do. Perpetuate here, right? By the way, I love the city of London. Got to stay at Claridge's a long time ago. One of the greatest hotels of all time, by the way. I'll never forget this, ordering cheese and crackers, and they sent up, not crackers, but like these giant croissants and muffins and whole cheeses, a whole cheese. Not just like sliced, Kraft cheddar cheese, which we all love. I'm talking a whole cheese.
What do you mean?
So you got to love playing in London. The Patriots were there last year. Remember what they did to Tampa Bay? But now it's the San Francisco 49ers, and they just suck. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. Denver, they were terrible last year. Where's my music? I can't do this without my music.
There's awesome power sound effects.
Woo, love this. Those girls on the pole outside. I love this. Wait, that's nice, Jason. Good job. Woo, leopard bikinis and everything. You're going crazy here on the Pete Shepherd Show in the studio. Oh, easy, darling. Oh, hey, come on. It's a family show. Take it easy. No. Later, perhaps. Denver. Denver is on the road. Way on the road in London. They absolutely sucked last week. Can it get any worse than to give up 59 points to the Raiders? But somehow they did it. But San Francisco sucks too. So in suck bowl number 4 this year already, I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos and Coach Josh McDaniels to rebound from that absolutely humiliating, disgusting loss in Denver. They're going to get it done. Kyle Orton redeems himself. And here come the Denver Broncos, minus the 1. They win in jolly old England. Hello, Chup. Tea and crumpets for everybody at 4 o'clock. High tea at Claridge's, okay? If you ever get there, if you're going out to this game, you got to go to Claridge's for high tea. It is an incredible experience. See? I'm a lot more cultured than you think. You have no idea. Anyway, we go on to game number 2. The Dallas Cowboys are home. They're 6.5-point favorites. Who is making these odds in Vegas against Jacksonville? I don't care if they're playing Jacksonville State this Sunday. It doesn't matter. I'm taking Jacksonville, plus the 6.5. Cowboys, no Romo. How does Phillips still have a job today is beyond me.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, you guys suck. And I can't wait to see what happens. I expect another bad loss here. This will be one of those where Dallas gets another lead and loses. Again, watch. They'll be up like 10-0, 13-3 in this game. And Del Rio will find a way for the Jaguars to pull this out. They will. They'll find a way to screw this up. And I think Jerry Jones, you know, the plastic surgery he has in his face is oozing out all over. He's becoming like one of those, you know, at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, when the guy, Raiders of the Lost Ark, when the guy's skin melts off his face. That's what's happening to Jerry Jones for the Dallas Cowboys. Just think of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Jacksonville, plus 6.5. That is a play there. At Detroit, the Lions. Tough team. You know, some days they play tough, like they did against Green Bay. And then other times they just stink. I think they still stink for the most part. They're getting better, but only a little bit better. So they've gone from stinky to crappy in my book. That's why I'm taking Washington at minus 2.5. Plus the 2.5. Plus 2.5.
Crap.
Exactly. Thank you, Bill. The Redskins are underdogs in this game. I'm going to go with the Redskins here, plus 2.5. I'm not a big Redskin fan. I'm going to go with the Redskins here, plus 2.5. The Green Bay Packers are at the Jets. Oh, upset alert. Upset alert. Upset alert. This will be a very hard-fought game. Not sure who's going to win, but I will tell you this. The Packers are going to cover this one. 6 points, way too many. Sorry, Jets. This should go right down to the wire. Hope the Pack pull it out. But I like the Pack. Too many points in that situation. Take the Green Bay Packers away from the Rosen. That's right. Snack attack with the Pack. The St. Louis Rams and Bradford are back home. 3-point favorites against Carolina. They stink too. I'm going with the Rams. Bradford's on fire. I think St. Louis wins this in a blowout. I think that kid's the real deal. I kept saying it. I only picked against him once when I thought they'd lose 56-0 to San Diego because I didn't think he was going to play. He did play. And I was eating crow on that one. The Buffalo Bills, who went absolutely crazy go nuts against the Baltimore Ravens somehow, but they come crashing back down to earth this week as they go into Kansas City to play the Chiefs, who are playing pretty good football right now. Kansas City, 7.5-point favorite against Buffalo. This game will not be close at all. The Buffalo Bills, you know what they're loaded against up against Baltimore. It ain't going to happen this week. They're going to go to Kansas City and get killed. You know, they had their one game this year. Bills could go winless somehow. Wouldn't it be great if they beat the Jets?
Get the f*** off the field!
Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel find a way to get it done in Kansas City again. My surprise team, I told you at the beginning of the season that I thought Kansas City would make the playoffs. Here's another line mistake of the year right here. Somehow, the bumbling, stumbling San Diego Chargers are 4-point favorites at home against Tennessee? Come on! I mean, they screwed up last week by making the Chargers. They ended up being a 3-point Charger. They were favored by 3, which is absolutely ridiculous considering Jackson was out, Nene was out. They're all banged up on offense. I know the defense is still strong. But this game, which I think will be a fairly low-scoring game, but Tennessee, you got to go with Tennessee here plus the 4 in San Diego.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
And that's what they're doing. They're bleeping themselves all over the place. Offense, special teams, laterals, people leaving the ball in the field. It's unbelievable. Woo! Don't even do it. Don't get me going. No, they are not super. They're Superchargers. The Superchargers. We move on to Oakland, where the Raiders are red hot. They're home against the Seattle Seahawks. Very, very interesting game here. I like the over.
Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
60-54. But you know who's on the up? The Raiders. The Raiders. Al Davis is going to live another week and see another win for the Raiders. I like him. Oakland minus 2 against Seattle. I like him. Next up, Sunday night in New Orleans. The Saints are a pick against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And don't ask me why, but I just have a feeling because the Saints are not favored by double digits and because they were absolutely humiliated last week at home by that fraud, man, idiot, and the Cleveland Browns, that they will come back with a vengeance Sunday night. And the Steelers, who should not have even won that game against Miami, didn't deserve to win. Dolphins very much, very similar, if you watch that game, very similar to what happened to the Patriots in San Diego. They had a chance to put about 3 touchdowns on the board early in that one, had to settle for field goals, unfortunately. But this time, New Orleans, I think gets Pittsburgh, New Orleans, bad spot for Pittsburgh here, on the road in New Orleans against a team that got humiliated by the Cleveland freaking Browns and Eric Mangini. So I look for New Orleans to really, really step it up here and win this game. It's a pick game. I like the Saints.
To any Steeler fans listening, you all suck. Wow.
Nice. Well, one more before we get to the Patriots. Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts. They're 5.5-point favorites at home against Houston.
Me. Sandwich.
Against
me.
Houston, a team that they always struggle with. They always seem to beat, except earlier this year on opening day where they didn't. And this is another bad spot for Indianapolis. They are banged up. Dallas Clark out. Collier's out. I know some people think they're still going to hang around and be a formidable opponent. Maybe. But not today and not in this game. Houston chews up Indianapolis. Spits them out. Stomps all over them. At least by a touchdown. I love the points in this game. Houston plus 5.5. That is the play. You got to love the Texans in this game. They play Indy tough anyway. This year they've already beaten them once, and Indianapolis is twice as banged up as they were before. They're in some trouble. And finally, in Foxborough, Sunday afternoon, 4:15, on All Hallows Eve. Your New England Patriots are a 6-point favorite against Brad Childress's Randy Moss Minnesota Vikings. Hopefully Brett Favre will play. Here's how I see it. Favre will play. Moss will play. Favre's gigantic ego will barely make it through Logan or Green, wherever he lands, but he'll play.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
And he very well might do that. Because I think the Patriots are going to beat this team and beat them soundly. A 2-touchdown win by the Patriots. 28-14 is my prediction. I think Tom Brady has his way, as he did a few years ago. I think Adrian Peterson has a decent game, but nothing spectacular, nothing earth-shattering. And I think Brett Favre throws at least 2 picks, maybe 3, possibly 6. It's possible.
Yeah.
At least 2 picks. And I'm going to tell you who's going to get, well, at least 1. Spikes and McCourty. That's 2 picks right there. You can mark that down. Patriots win this game 28-14. Brett Favre is going to need 2 new ankles when he's done with this, because I think he's going to be frustrated for most of the day. Moss has an okay day. Again, nothing great. I think the Patriots do a pretty good job. I think Brett Favre will try to force him the ball a few times. A couple times he'll hit, and more times than not, he'll miss. Patriots 28-14. That's the way I see it, and that's the way it's going to be.
Brett Favre.
Exactly. All right, that's going to just about do it for this edition of the Pete Shepard Show again. In case you missed it, we had Bill Belichick on earlier today. We also have, I want to thank the coach very much for joining me. It was right before the 5 o'clock hour. And also want to thank Jeremy Fowler from the Minnesota Pioneer Press for joining us as well. He was in the 4:30 hour. In case you're wondering, you want to hear those guys again. Let me see if I can get one more email in before we go from William. Or Bill. Childress admitted he didn't change signals when he thought they were being stolen. If global warming is caused by humans, why is it happening on Mars and Pluto? Interesting. Very interesting, Bill. Thank you very much. All right, that's just going to do it. Again, you can download the show, right, in case you missed it. Bill Belichick is on the show today.
Probably be up in about an hour.
It'll be up in about an hour. In case you missed it, you can download it. Thanks again, you guys, so much. Thanks for people who checked in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Thanks to people who emailed on webradio at patriots.com. Thanks if you checked in on Facebook. Have a great and safe rest of your week, everybody. Again, Patriots are going to beat Minnesota 28-14. Brett Favre and company in serious trouble. Have a happy, happy Halloween, everybody. Talk to you next Tuesday at 4 o'clock right here on Patriots.com.
Why let zippers and buttons slow you down? With open fly jeans, it's always out and camera ready.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.